2 Timothy chapter number 4. Thank you, orchestra, for your participation in chapel today. That song was just beautiful. And as I heard it, I said to myself, and I said to the Lord in my heart, Lord, I want that to be the case for me too. I appreciate that. One, just real quickly, next week we have a couple chapels as well. But I am very, very thankful for all of our graduates who graduated in 2024, whether it is you came for 1 year or you're coming for your associates or your graduate classes or your bachelor's of science. Thank you very much for being with us. So much of the spirit of a college rests heavily upon its upperclassmen. And while our seniors were out this week, I had the joy to be in the chapel here and just was very impressed with the freshman, the sophomore, junior class and your heart for the Lord. Just pray that God will give you a great, great season of your life and be faithful to Him. It's a wonderful thing just to walk with God and to let Him walk with you, use you. And I want the Lord to do that. Stay clean. Stay close to the Lord. Stay open with your relationships, especially an important one with your mom, your dad. And then stay right with your purpose, and that is to get the gospel to other people. And you'll do that naturally if you'll be right. You'll be right, you'll do right. And that's the case. And we certainly want to see God honor you. We're excited about all that is going on. And really, the demand outweighs the supply of servants of Christ. It was the case when Jesus was here, as He looked across the multitudes and said, oh man, had compassion. They were fainted. They were scattered. They had a sheep having no shepherd. And He said to His disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest that He has sent forth laborers. And when you make that prayer, usually you become part of the answer to that prayer. And that's okay. It's what you want. You want your life to be a part of the answer to that prayer. And people, prayer changes things. It changes me. And life is not measured by, an iPhone or an office or a name on a title. It's measured in really effectiveness. I just got off the phone today with Brother Rick Martin. I interviewed him on the radio station. Just thinking about his life first, I must work the works of Him who sent me while this day, the night cometh, when no man can work. He said, I just now, today, in the Philippines, of course, it was 10:30 at night, their time, when I talked to him at 9:30 our time. He said, today, I bought a piece of property. Well, I didn't. He oversaw that. He said, it was not his money. It was given by somebody, but he had the opportunity to buy a property in Mindanao in a Muslim city, the most Muslim city in the Philippines. And they are going to buy a property, and they're going to ready. He said, within 5 to 6 months, we should have a radio station airing the gospel of Christ in that Muslim country. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I would never dream in a million years I could do what I'm doing, but it's just one step at a time. Sunday, they'll celebrate 46 years in the Philippines. And they say in conservative numbers, over 1,500 churches have been started out of that church in the Philippines. And then many missionaries around the world. And it's just one at a time, doing God. And he went there when he was 24 years old with his wife, Becky. And of course, right from he was in this room and as a student. Then at the church is where God called him to go to the Philippines. Didn't know where the Philippines was whenever he surrendered to go. He just said, if that's what we need to do, then we're going to do that. She said, okay, let's do it. And God has used them greatly. And God wants to use you. And you can use you when you're young. But the more you do right when you're young, there comes a time, most of us, God wants us to bear a yoke in our youth. And when you're young, you're trying to do all you can do, but you're learning about yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, your abilities, your liabilities, your assets. You're learning that. But as you get into if you keep doing what you're supposed to do when you're young, when you get into your 30s, what's going to happen? It's kind of like riding a bicycle with multiple gears. When you're young, you pedal hard, but you don't see a lot of effort. You don't see a lot of productivity. Your youth is against you. Your inexperience is against you. But your strength is much stronger than that of mine or other people that have got many years in their life. But you said, I want you to pedal strong. Because what happens as you continue to pedal strong in your youth, God begins to change the gears. And you go from pedaling hard and not going very fast to pedaling the same, but having much more productivity as time goes on. And you'll see that all of a sudden, if you'll keep doing the right thing, you will be more productive long term in your abilities to win and disciple others. But You got to put your time in. You got to go through the frustration. You got to start learning about yourself. You got to stay pure and stay committed. Stay out of critical arenas. Young people, it's amazing. And of course, your generation is not different than ours, but you just have more negative noise out there. Everywhere you look, someone wants to criticize. It takes no character to criticize anyone. Anybody can criticize somebody else and say, "Wow, you're doing this right here." They don't know the burdens. Many times people criticize them are not even, they don't have the ability to build a hot dog stand. You know, they can't even keep a hot dog stand going, and yet they're criticizing a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, an institution that is doing, you know, they're human beings. Everybody's human beings, but they're oftentimes very critical. Stay out of those arenas. And there's just some folks just, you just don't, that you're, they're not worthy of your ear on their podcast. Don't even listen to it for interest. It's not going to help you. Stay in the area of right and holy and positive. And the Bible says, think on these things. I want to encourage you with that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll pick up, if we can, please, at verse number 6. Read it with me, would you, please? And we'll read the odd number verses together, and the even numbers, I'll read those if I can. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them," that's you and me, "who also love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica and Cretan, to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry. And Titius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, bring them. Alexander the carpersmith, he did me much evil. The Lord requite, I'm sorry, I did not read that correctly. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom? At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, and Trophimus have I left sick, and Miletum sick. Do thy diligence and prudence, Linus. Let's read it together as we conclude. Father, would you help us just a few moments? We continue our walk through this wonderful book of the Bible that's so applicable. It's an old man writing to a young man in a difficult season of his life. It's not a comfortable rented home. It's a cold, miserable jail cell. And he's already been to court, and he realized that they're sharpening the guillotine in just a few short days. He doesn't know when, but he is going to be offered as a martyr for your cause. And he gives some very important things that we can learn. I pray you please make the application where necessary in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. And I really appreciate the value you give to the Word of God and listening. Yesterday, listening to our seven young men speak, that was a blessing. Appreciate that very much. I appreciate the way you listen to them. I have contemplated their thoughts and helped me tremendously. And all of our chapel speakers, God has used them in a sweet way. And I thank God for the way you listen to the Word of God. 2 Timothy, of course, just a quick reminder, it's a book of challenge, of charging. It's like a general that charges his troops. Here is Paul charging Timothy. The first letter, you remember that. He just basically reminds him of his responsibilities to behave himself by keeping his doctrine sound, prayer a priority, winning, discipling, training others, being a good testimony, treating people right, and managing his finances with wisdom. He wrote all of that in a rented home in Rome, but somewhere along the line, looks like to me, not totally clear about it, but he got to leave. They came to him and said, look, you can go. And so he left after 2 years, and he went to maybe visit a few folks, but it wasn't long till he was quickly arrested and brought back to Rome. And this time they didn't give him a rented home. They put him into a prison cell. And the Mamertine prison right across from the Colosseum, where oftentimes they would let hungry lions go and devour people, and found like it was entertainment for those who would watch, find criminals and then Christians. Nero was the king, and he was very much an adversary to Christianity. He would sometimes, just for fun, find Christians and put oil, dip them in oil, or put oil over their bodies and tie them to a fence, to a post, and light them on fire in the middle of the streets of Rome to do two things. One, to make them a spectacle, and also to warn others to stay away from that and don't join up with them, to threaten them to do that. We're probably not going to have that happen in America, but there is a strong movement in our day, in our society, to silence Christians, to make you much more of a minority, to threaten you and to cause you some difficulties. We live in a great country, as great a country as you can imagine. At the same time, we are in perilous times. And many of our brothers and sisters in other lands have had it a lot worse than we'll ever have it, probably. But we should, by the way, nothing of that keeps us from being faithful to the Lord. Does nothing happen in the government, nothing happen keeps you from having a pure telephone that you use. Nothing there keeps you from making sure you don't listen to wrong music and be careful about that, or hang around wrong kind of friends or text wrong kind of things. That's you. That's me. We can do that. We have no excuse. And a man with excuse is a poor excuse for a man. And we need to quit making excuses and make sure that they stay right with God, right with the truth, and be faithful in the realm that God has given us, to talk to folks about Christ, to develop the kingdom of God while we wait for His Son from heaven to come. Well, the Apostle Paul now challenges Timothy. And he gives him a personal challenge in chapter 1. He gives him a practical challenge in chapter 2. He gives him a perilous day challenge in chapter 3, reminding him he needs to have a good testimony. He needs to be willing to suffer difficulties while he serves the Lord. He needs to make sure he continues in the things which he's learned and been helped. Don't get off track. Stay on track. Don't get off the rails. Be careful. And many people, two things I think desperately hurt the gospel propagation. Many other things, I'm sure. But one is bad doctrine. The other one is interpersonal problems. Whenever we cannot get along with other people. You know, there are a lot of people, they're not going to cross their T's and dot their I's like you will one day. But they're not your enemy if they're getting people the gospel. And better off just to keep staying your lane, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. I want to stand, I want to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, but there's no sense in spending all my time trying to attack everybody else around me. And we are in a cannibalistic Christianity where everybody just spends all their time attacking one another. We have that in this room. Some of you precious young people, but you're prone to criticize and to put everybody in categories, and you got opinions about everybody and what they're going to do. And the truth of the matter is, to their own master, they'll stand and fall. I think they don't answer to you. They're not going to answer to me. I want to help them, and I do have strong disagreements with many people that have gone off the rails. But the truth of the matter is, they don't have to answer to me. They answer to God. And I need to stand against the truth. I need to teach the truth and believe the truth and try to do all I can to warn others at the same time. And sometimes you can't do that without calling names. Apostle Paul here did. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him. By the way, he turned over all the recompense that needed to be done to the Lord. And that's a good idea for you to do. It's a good idea for me to do. Sometimes you may have to call out somebody. But the Apostle Paul now, he says, in a challenging day, in a perilous day, have a good testimony, because this world doesn't need another cheap imitation of itself. It needs someone with a genuine testimony that's just sincere, simplistic, honest, walk with God. You can do that. You don't have to be flashy to do that. You don't have to be talented to do that. Number two, you got to be able to endure some hardness. Number three, you got to continue doing what God's told you to do based upon how your pastor back home, your mom and your dad who are Christian folks, and those who have taught you, that you've seen their life. They're not perfect, but you've seen them live out faith. That's the kind of person you want to follow and do those things. And then make much of the Scriptures. We've heard in two, yesterday, good young men, and then previously. Brother Danny spoke a little bit about making sure we continue in the Word of God, because it is our way to get someone salvation. It's the way we can be successful and profitable. It's how we can learn to be mature and seasoned, and it's how we can serve God effectively. In this last chapter, it's this parting challenge. He says, I'm going to heaven. He says, so I'm going to challenge you. You preach the word. You be instant, in season, good times and bad times. If your car breaks down, look for witnessing opportunities. If you have a beautiful day and everything's going good and you got money in your pocket, look for witnessing opportunities. Preach the word. Good times, bad times. Don't be up and down like a yo-yo. Keep it steady on your purpose. And then he goes on to tell us that some will not endure heart sound doctrine. They just want to hear stories. They just want to be entertained. They want to just have someone just pat them on the head and encourage them, and they go on the next thing. That's the Joel Osteens of the day. You know, I just love listening to him. He just makes me feel so good. You know, that's that situation. He said they're not really wanting to hear it straight. They'll want to be tickling. We have that. We can make fun of Mr. Joel Osteen, but the truth of the matter is, we have that going on today. We want churches that everybody feels good. We want to make sure their kids are happy. We want to make sure they have kids' lands and make sure everything is comfortable and easy and attractive. And we think if we build it, they'll come. Let me tell you something. You cannot substitute one-on-one witnessing, soul-winning discipleship. You keep doing the basics. I was talking to our graduate who knocks 500 doors a week, he and his friend. He said, Pastor, I've been knocking 500 doors a week. Now we had 143 in our church after two months, and I've seen that it works. There are people all over the community. Yeah, you have your share of people that I don't want that. Get off my door, quit knocking, quit bothering me. But then you have someone that says, I've been waiting for someone like you. And to watch people get saved and baptized and led to the Lord. And they don't even own their own building. They're using someone else's building. They don't come to the church because of the building. They don't come to church because of the nursery. They don't come to church because of the website. They came because they got saved. And somebody loves them. And I'm telling you, whether you're inner city or you're a rural thing, people want to know, do you care about me? And you can give them Bible answers. I talked to a precious lady today, and she was telling me about her loved one who they believe to be demon-possessed. And just saying, you know, he whenever he's in his right mind, he says, can somebody help me? Whenever he is demon-possessed, he hates it. I'm not talking to a preacher. Preachers have gone there. He just sits and won't say anything to them. He knows who can help him. He says, I know who the only two people in his family that are saved is the lady I was talking to and her husband. And he says to everybody, the only two people on the planet that can help me is this my sister and her husband. Because they know the truth. He's been trying to be institutionalized, been arrested, tearing up all the things in his house, just a demon-possessed person. And you know what that person needs? He needs somebody with the Spirit of God on them and the Word of God and to rest and to come and help him. And the world's full of people like that, hurting people, that only the gospel of Christ, there's not enough medicine to help that man. There's not enough psychiatrists to help him. He needs the gospel of Jesus. He needs a spirit-filled person that's got a clean phone, a clean mind. Well, you don't want to come up with someone with, because demons know what's going on in your life. They know what's going on in your head. They can't read your mind, but they know what you've seen. Well, try to come to a person like that when you've got a bunch of wickedness going on inside of you. You'll run with your tail between your legs out of that situation. They'll be calling you out just like they did to Sava, you know. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? And that's not going to work. But there are people that long for help. He says, you're going to have to keep preaching the word. Now Apostle Paul changes the tune. He says, look, it's time for me to go. I know my departure is imminent. You know, Apostle Paul wasn't that old. They say that he was probably maybe in his early 60s. He had given greatly. He had suffered immensely. He had traveled extensively. He was passionate about going to the next place. But his time to depart. By the way, you don't know when you are going to depart. Precious people in this room may have their funeral this summer. You don't know who you are. I don't know. It could be mine. This may be my last year to be able to serve as a pastor. I don't know what's going on inside of me. You don't know what's going on inside of you. I certainly don't know the extent of it. But we have to realize night is coming. When no man can work. Night's coming for you. It's coming for people you love. By the way, you got a mom and dad, love them. You're going to pick their casket out one day. Love them today. Care about them. Reach out to them. Write them a note. Call them. Text them. I was talking to a dad today. He said, my son's so busy, he doesn't call me. Doesn't tell me. I know he's busy. I just miss him. I just wish he'd call me every now and then. I wish he would text me every now and then. And we forget that. And the night's coming for your mom and dad. It's coming for your people you love. Be good at that. Night's coming for the lost. Every day the night closes in someone's life and it's all over. We want to be faithful to give the gospel to people. The Apostle Paul says, now it's time to be offered. Look at these, verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He goes, I know it's time. I'm getting ready to exit. Verse number 7. Read it with me. I have. Well, I don't know about you. I'd like to do that. You want to make sure you're on the right course, fighting the right fight, and keeping the right faith. That's your responsibility. And some folks get off course. Some people fight the wrong fight. They put their ladder up against the wrong building. And they become good at something that doesn't matter. You don't want to do that. Some folks are really good at stuff and they feel like they got this and that's their corner on, but it doesn't bring anyone to Jesus. They can argue with the best of them, but no one gets saved as a result of their argument. You're not called to go out and win arguments. You're called to win souls. So many people just strife is their life. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Young people, your course is different than mine. Brother Edgar's course is different than mine. Brother Aaron's, Brother Mitchell's, and I'm not in a race with them. You're not a race with me. You precious girls, you're not a race with anybody else. You don't have to compare yourself among yourself. It's a foolish thing to do. But realize the course God puts you on, stay on your course. You got to fight. There is a fight, and he tells what that fight is in chapter 1, verse number 6. He said, you've got to flee some things. Then you got to fight the good fight of faith, and you got to follow after righteousness and peace and joy, spiritual things. Boy, some of you, you're precious people, but you got money on the brain. You got success on your mind. You got. I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to have this, I want to have that, and you got an itch for more that's out of control. You're not a bad person. You got the same problem I've got. But covetousness, that itch for more, out of control. You need to follow after things that will do. You seek the Lord and His righteousness. He'll take care of you. Don't be afraid to trust God. You can jump out in the deep. He's there. He actually asked you, launch out into the deep. Could you imagine Peter, James, John folding up their fishing nets and leaving them there and said, Dad, I'm not going to do this right now. I'm going to go follow Jesus. And I'm sure they said, how are you going to get money? How are you going to take care of your family? I'm sure lots of questions. How about Matthew is approached and working at the seat of custom, taking taxes. And he said, Matthew, I'd like for you to follow me, Levi. Can you come with me? Yes, I will. What? You're going to lose your job? Yeah. And he did, and he never regretted it. You won't regret it. I'm not asking you to be stupid or lack prudence. Some of us, we let money make all of our decisions. Like God can't figure out some stuff. Think about our future. Well, what's going to be? I talked to a young man the other day, and he said, well, what I want to know is, am I going to be set when I'm 50? Are you kidding me? You may not even make 40. You're spending that. You know, if you have a God in heaven when you're 50, he'll take care of you. My God shall supply all your... I have never found him to be even a little bit slack on that. When you love him and you give of yourself to him, he's going to take care of you. And those thoughts do not come from God. Thoughts of doubt, thoughts of disillusionment, discouragement, those are not coming from God. I love what Apostle Paul says. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Look at the next verse, would you please? And this is something that's interesting. Verse number 8, read it with me. Henceforth there is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day. We see a snapshot into the Apostle Paul. Why did he do what he did? Was it just because it was his duty? No, you know what? He had reward on his mind. Can I just remind you? It is faith in Jesus Christ that determines your eternal destiny. Plus nothing, minus nothing. You don't get baptized to go to heaven. Your prayer is not what gets you to heaven. It's faith in Christ and asking Him to save you. And it's something wonderful that, you know, somebody can get saved by saying, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Someone else can get saved, "Remember me." Someone else can get saved as "I put my faith in you." It's not exactly the words you say. Some of you struggle with your eternal destiny because you don't know if you said the right words. There's no right words. The right word is calling on the Lord. If you exclude Him, you probably got some problems. It's her faith is in Jesus. It's faith in Christ determines your eternal destiny. It is service and faithfulness to Christ that determines your eternal rewards. There are people, and I have dear friends who went to school here who now believe that there's no rewards in the Bible. You don't serve God for rewards. I just have a hard time reading my Bible and coming up with an agreement on that. I do believe right here, the Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest Christians, he said, because I fought a good fight, because I finished my course and I kept the faith, there is a rewarding day that the Lord Himself is going to reward me in that day. There's two days you ought to be concerned today. That is today and that day when you stand before God. Every day you ought to think about, what's it going to be like when I leave Jesus, the Lord, at the judgment seat? I'm not going to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I'm not going to hell, but I am going to give an account of myself. I thought about it while I was driving here from the church this morning. Just starting to think, Lord, I want to make sure. I know I'm not perfect, but I want to make sure my heart is clean, my motives are pure, and that just like the girl sang today, that one day you will be able to say, John, yeah, you weren't perfect. You messed up a few times. You did some dumb stuff. At the same time, I know what you did. I know everything you did. I know a cup of cold water. I know when you lean down to pick up a piece of paper. I know whenever you sacrificed to make that extra visit, to get up that early morning, to do that thing that needed to be done, to win that soul to Christ, to counsel that person. That was not done for a paycheck. That was done for me. I want you to have that. The Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm ready to go. But because I kept the faith, because I stayed on the course, because I have fought the right fight, there is a rewarding day. And it's not just for me only, but everyone who anticipates the coming of Christ. Everyone who anticipates that meeting with the Lord. Would you like to meet Him today? Those of you who are engaged, you're not ready yet. You want to wait a little bit. The truth of the matter is, anyone who anticipates the fact I'm getting ready to meet Jesus, whenever that comes, I'm looking forward to it. He's anyone who gets excited about and not necessarily His coming again, but yes, His coming again. Or me going to be with Him. It's appointed every man wants to die, and after that, the evaluation. If I keep my mind on that day, I'm not going to be punished for my sin. I'll be rewarded for my work. I will suffer loss because of things I've done that I shouldn't have done, I've done it for the wrong reasons. But for what I've done for the Lord, He said, I want you to anticipate seeing me, not be afraid, but to be unashamed at His coming. And I think we see the motivation of the Apostle Paul. We see enough. Listen, young people, can I encourage you to fight the right fight? To stay on the right course. To keep the faith. Be faithful all the way to the end. All of us, all the way. Because there is a reward. There is the Lord who saved us. We're going to answer to Him and reward us. And He'll do that to anybody who is faithful to Him. Let's be faithful to Him. When we meet next time, I want to talk to you a little bit about the list of names that the Apostle Paul names. Because people matter to God more than anything. And at the end of someone's life, he uses half of this chapter to talk about people that mattered to Him. And you're going to be thinking about people that matter to you. When people go to breathe their last breath, they don't care about how much money they made. They don't say, well, I really love living in that house. I'm so glad I drove that car. No one cares about it. I've watched enough people die. No one talks about possessions I know about. They talk about people. And people are very valuable to love them and to treat them right. By this you'll all men know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And we find that He loved these people, even those who did not stay with Him. He saw that they needed to be mentioned. And there's a numbers of them there. We'll talk about that the next time. Let's pray together. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no invitation today publicly, but I hope you'll do an invitation in your own heart. You'll ask yourself, Lord, am I fighting the right fight? Am I on the right course? Am I going to be faithful? Am I faithful now? And I will be. I'll be faithful this summer. Will I be faithful when I'm 30 or 40 or 50? One of the things that ought to motivate you, besides your just genuine love for Christ, would be your day you're going to answer for Him. And answer to Him. And receive from Him His commendation, His reward for your life. Our Father, please help me. Help our students. Thank you for the joy to be able to share this passage of Scripture with them. Please help them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.